welcome into another edition of Falcon Cast. John Michaels, no more Matt Moore. It's Jay Adams to my left, and the former quarterback, All-American, all that good stuff, DJ Shockley.
The legend.
I love it already. I mean, the introduction there is pretty grand. Might be a little over, but, you know, hey.
Hey, you were an All-American.
I don't know about legend.
You are. Yeah. Come on. I've walked around the state of Georgia with you a lot of times. Been on the field. You are a legend.
You won a couple games, you know.
You can't go anywhere.
No.
And I see you everywhere. Like, I'm on television, radio, print, everywhere. I see you everywhere.
I like to be involved.
That's good.
How about that?
That's good. But this is your first love, right?
No doubt about it.
Absolutely. We got a lot to get into today, obviously. We're getting ready for week number three of the preseason, which is huge. There's a bunch of guys in the back here in the locker room that are getting ready to try to make a football team. We'll review what happened last week for the New York Jets. Jay and I had a good time down on the sideline watching that, at least the early portions of the game. We'll talk about what they're going to do against the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, we'll break with Bosek, which will be a lot of fun. And a video of the week, although I don't know anything that will live up to the video from last week with Pat Moore running around on the ice at an Atlanta Thrashers game.
I got more comments about that.
Yeah.
What was it? Chicken pita or something?
It was a pita.
Fajita.
Chicken fajita.
By the way, I could use some fajitas right now. Sounds like good.
We need a fajita sponsor on this show.
You know what?
We'll work on that.
We'll have to figure that out. Let's dive into what happened last week for the New York Jets. I thought, Jay, we'll start with you. A lot of good early on. The offense came out firing on all cylinders. It's now 3-for-3 for Matt Ryan. 3 drives, 3 touchdowns. They look really good so far offensively, at least the first
Matt game. Struggled, though. He had an incompletion.
Yeah,
How dare you, Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I can't believe you, Matt.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I think stands out. You know, there's a lot of things that stand out about this preseason, but I think that's one of the big things is how well the offense is clicking, because you always heard that during training camp, during preseason games, the defense is always going to click faster than the offense because of intricacies, all these different things, timing, things like that. Yet the offense looks like they've been running it for years. Matt Ryan is really handling the Kyle Shanahan offense well. He's got his timing with Julio. He's getting timing with Leonard Hankerson. You know, Roddy White is obviously going to be out for the preseason, but, I mean, those two guys have enough history that it doesn't matter. The thing that you want to see is the running game start to pick up a little bit, and I think when you've got your top two running backs who have been sitting on the sidelines, that is going to hurt your running game a little bit. I'll be interested to see what those guys can do if they're playing this Friday. But overall, I think you have to be very pleased with what you've seen out of this Falcons offense so far.
I'll go a little step further and say I'm really pleased, like you said, with both groups being efficient. Mm-hmm. I think, obviously, the offense coming along so quickly makes it just an extra value for everybody because they're coming along so quick. I didn't expect them to pick it up so quick. Obviously, they had minicamp. They had OT. They had everything else involved to get ready. But now you're in game, and they are rolling, like you said, like they've been together for years. Defensively, you're seeing guys out there communicating. You're seeing guys filling run gaps, things that they didn't happen last year, being able to stop the run. And for me, this is not to pick on the offensive line, but it's one of the things of why not, regardless of who's back there, open up holes? You know, we had 5 yards rushing in the first half.
Right.
That's ridiculous. You know what I mean? We got to do better up front. And regardless of who's running the rock, let's try to open up some holes. But other than that, I mean, even without a run game, this offense still looks good. And it's crazy what a run game will add to this offense, especially once they get it going.
But concerning the offensive line, I saw something that I haven't seen in a while at a Falcons game, and that's Matt Ryan alone in the pocket with yards of space around him. The offensive line has done a really good job in pass pro. I think that can't be overlooked right now because Matt is having time, and I think the offense clicking is a product of him having just a few seconds more to think and go through his reads and find a receiver.
And one thing, the Falcons have used play action, and it's worked without a run game, and that's a credit to the offensive line because they do a good job of what we call having low hats. So, they mean, they fire off the ball like it's a run play. They keep their hats low so the defensive line, linebackers, when it initially looks like, run. So the linebackers freeze for a half a second, and that's when you see the slants come in behind them. You see them hit Hankerson, hit Julio in the first game.
Colin Mooney.
Yes.
Rumbling.
Love to see a big guy catching the ball running down the sideline.
So good things like that are also positive for the offensive line. Yeah, you want to see the run game. That's part of it. And that's just small things we're looking at. But the other smaller things, the thing we just mentioned, just doing a good job with hat placement, doing a good job of creating holes and keeping number two straight up.
Not to stay on the offensive line, but I think one thing, there's something to be said about continuity. And I've been charting down on the sideline the percentage that guys are playing together. There's not a lot of the ones being grouped together. A lot of times it's Joe Holly coming in, and then you immediately follow up with Mike Person going to center. It's tough when you're a new unit trying to run a new scheme to really get that continuity. I think this week when they play Miami, you'll see more of the ones coming in a lot. You'll see these guys playing for a half. Maybe the running game finally gets going. Either way, I'm not overly concerned right now because what you guys mentioned, who's the most important person on the offensive side of the football?
Deuce.
Number two, keeping him upright, stopping him from getting hit in the chest like he was a year ago, and they've done a good job for that for the most part. I want to talk about one of the other positives, and I know defense is one of them. How about Keith Armstrong's special teams unit? Matt Bosher, I don't know what he did in the offseason, but let's get him ready for the Pro Bowl right now. He averaged over 57 yards a punt last week. And Devin Hester, you know where he's from. He looked like Devin Hester circa 2004 at the U.
The U in
switching
it.
Sides and running away. That guy's amazing.
And special teams is such an overlooked aspect of the game, but games are really won and lost on special teams in so many different ways. And Keith Armstrong is one of the best. We've seen it, and it's so underrated what he brings to this team that, you know, you've got these guys who are going out there continually doing their jobs that you almost take them for granted. I mean, we all know Matt Bryant is money, and we all make a big deal out of that, but Matt Bosher with the field position that he sets up, and then you look at guys like Eric Weems and Anton Smith when he's healthy. Right. And
Bradford is killing it.
Alan Bradford is playing like a man possessed on special teams. If you haven't noticed him, I mean, oh my gosh. But those guys are setting up field position, and it puts the defense in a great position, and you can't overstate that.
That's the number one thing you mentioned right there was changing field, switching it up. And I think every coach I've always had says the most important part of the game is when you come out of on kickoff or kickoff return, the first play of the game, and then when you come out of halftime, because those set the tempo of each half.
Right.
And then also changing the field, like you just mentioned, Bosher kicking it a long way, pinning them inside the 20, inside the 10. And then on the other side, you got Hester who taking it to the crib and putting it on the 3-4 yard line. The offense has a short field. Mm-hmm. Either way you put it, these guys changing field position is huge, and it changed the impact of a game. I remember Matt talking about it at the end of the game was, yeah, we hit the first drive, we went down, then the second drive, we were set up on like the 3-4 yard line.
Right.
So it was pretty easy for us to, you know, stick it in. Things like that are overlooked when you look at the stat sheet or the stat line. Those are big parts of the game.
Well, and how much easier it is for your defense when all of a sudden you come back and it's a change of possession, Matt Bosher punts the ball, but yet the opposing offense is starting inside their own 20-yard line.
Yeah.
How much more aggressive do you want to be? I mean, if you're a new defensive coordinator, you just say, hey, I'm going to pin my ears back. I'm going to let these guys come after the quarterback because guess what? We have room for error. It's not that they're getting the ball at midfield and plus territory. It's nice to see the special teams early. And a lot of times, this is a time of the year that special teams don't gel because it's shuttling in, people trying to make a team. You see Keith Armstrong doing a great job, as he always does. This leads me to defense. And Jay, we talked about this at length on the field. There is a package that the Falcons put in obvious pass rush situations. Vic Beasley, Jonathan Babineau, Adrian Claiborne, and O'Brien Schofield. We've got to come up with a nickname. And you guys can tweet, you can text, do whatever you want to do. We've got to come up with a nickname for that package. Rashawn Ali on CW69 asked both of them, O'Brien Schofield and Jonathan Babineau. The team hasn't come up with one. All I know is those guys get to the quarterback.
Yeah, and what's awesome, when you watch it, and I tend to watch it on film. I watch it back, and, you know, I watch the game. And the great thing about it is they get pressure on the outside. Schofield and Beasley, they set the edge. They get up to a point, 6-7 yards in that pocket. They set the edge there so the quarterback can't go out this way or go out the opposite way. They set that edge, and then you got Babs and you got Claiborne in the middle just pushing that pocket, closing that pocket in. And as a quarterback, when your offensive linemen are starting to get on your lap, you get uncomfortable. And we saw that very evidently last week when the Jets quarterback was in the middle and he was getting pushed and they had that big sack. That package is causing a lot of issues.
Right.
A lot of issues. They're doing a good job of setting the edge, then the inside guys are pushing the pocket, getting to the quarterback.
And I think one of the things that really impressed me is that, because I saw it for the first time, like up close on the field, was the speed of Vic Beasley off the football. I mean, it was just incredible to see how fast he's getting past offensive tackles, and that's going to cause a lot of problems. That's what the Falcons want him and need him to do. And that package is really going to help. Everybody's coming in, they're doing their responsibilities, but if you add that extra element of Beasley speed,
yeah.
I mean, forget it. There are going to be quarterbacks that are going to have bad days coming up.
I saw Beasley get upfield 2-3 yards, quick as you can, offensive tackle goes to try to set him, and he hits him with a spin move back up through the middle.
Unbelievable. Almost had the sack, too.
It happened so fast, I was like, oh, man, this dude's
Mind you, that's against DeBrickashaw Ferguson, right. who's a three-time right. Pro Bowler in this league. He's not a ham and egger. He wasn't doing that against a guy that's going to be, you know, bagging groceries 2 months
and
from
the
now.
Size difference between the two of them. I mean, you would think that DeBrickashaw would just be able to hug him, and that would.
And after the game, after the game, Coach Quinn gave him respect, saying, "Hey, this is a guy who can, you know, punch you from a mile away. You know, Brick is a long guy, so it was a great job of him getting back there."